Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Good morning. You're listening to the Go and Teach radio program, a work of the Monte Vista Church of Christ here in Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Ryan Goodwin, and I'm the new evangelist working with the Monte Vista Church. I moved here from Abilene, Texas just a few weeks ago, and I do look forward to spending our time together on Sunday mornings with this radio program, and I appreciate also that you've taken some time out of your day to listen to us. We certainly hope that if you have any questions about the way that we do things at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, or if you have any questions specifically about this radio program, that you'll go to our website, montevistacoc.com, and inquire. Send an email, give us a phone call, or just come on by the church building sometime. I'd love to sit down and have a Bible conversation with you. Well, as we begin our radio program this morning, consider the idea of a life story, because everybody leaves behind a life story of some kind. One writer put it really well in a book called Guard Your Heart. He says, will you leave behind a life story? Will you leave people trying to unravel your life to determine who you really were and what you were really about? Make no mistake about it, you do have a life story, just as your father and grandfather before you. Now, some stories are very positive. They're filled with accomplishments, accolades, and ways that we have affected the world around us in some positive way. Other life stories are negative, and they focus on shortcomings, eccentricities, and even failures. So here's a few questions to ask yourself about your life story as you ponder this. If my friends and family had to sum up my life in just a few words, what would they be? I wonder, would I fill up a funeral home, or have I really failed to affect that many people around me? Would people have to awkwardly muddle their way through a eulogy because nobody really remembered anything noteworthy about my life? Am I a hero to my children? Will they have lingering, nagging questions about whether or not I loved them? Do I tell them enough now? Will they wonder if I was proud of them? I do wonder how my mate will remember me. Will she remember me as being some kind of a sellout? Will she be relieved when I'm finally gone? Would my spouse marry me again if given another chance? So is my life story, my legacy, if you want to call it that, one that people will want to hear about for years to come? And leading into our next point, what kind of inconsistencies will people remember about me? Because people do leave behind confusing life stories, contradictory life stories even. Now, one man in the Bible in particular who left us a little bit baffled is King Solomon. And if you're a student of the Bible, you know a little bit about King Solomon's life. This is an individual who started out so strong, with so many blessings. He was so humble and obedient to God, in fact, that God gave him tremendous, tremendous gifts. Not only was he surrounded by physical blessings, like wealth and a beautiful home and a secure country, but he was also given great wisdom, the greatest wisdom the world had ever seen. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 13 describes some of this blessed life. And yet, with all the good things that Solomon had going for him, he seemed to stumble near the end of his race. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 4, it says of Solomon that when he was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods. Now, Solomon's life story was so inconsistent, in fact, that he was used by later generations of Hebrews as a warning against unfaithfulness. Several generations after Solomon had died, a man named Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 13, verse 26, spoke to his contemporaries, saying, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin regarding these things? Yet among the many nations there was no king like him. And he was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, the foreign women caused even him to sin." In this wise king's affairs, we find the depths of foolishness. In his splendorous living, we find waste and opulence, indulgence. His blessings actually became his curse. So we're left perplexed by him, not comforted, just as with many other Bible characters who seem destined to defeat themselves with contradictory life stories. For all the great things that these men and women did, one wonders, what are we supposed to think of Adam or Noah? How about a man like Gideon, Samson, King Saul, or King Uzziah? And there are many others also who often leave us in doubt about their overall success as people of God. They did some really great things, and they certainly had their high moments, but they also did some really stupid things, made a lot of mistakes. Maybe that's kind of the description for all of us. The problem with a contradictory or confusing life story is that it can be very destructive to the people around us. Such stories of failure cause other people to become discouraged. They think, well, if he could not remain faithful, what hope or chance do I have? When you look at some of those men that we talked about a moment ago in the Bible, like Adam or Noah or Gideon, these are men who had God speaking to them. God actually talked to them. And if they couldn't be faithful, what chance do I have when all I've got is the Bible? It's especially when we hear about leaders in the church or people that we respect, preachers, elders, deacons, their family members, or role models that we've had in life. When these people fall away, their contradictory stories may cause us to stumble. In fact, there's an old Latin saying, and I'll give it to you in English here, but essentially the Latin saying is, the worst thing is the failure of the greatest. Now, Paul seemed very discouraged in the Bible by the apparent spiritual failure of a man named Demas. We read in Colossians 4, verse 14, it's just a passing reference, of course, but we find there that Paul sends a greeting to a man named Demas. There's no indication anywhere in Colossians that Demas was unfaithful in any way, and yet we read in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10 that Demas loved this present world too much and that he abandoned Paul and the work that needed to be done. That's a confusing life story. In hindsight, we may have to wonder about our own life stories. Did I stand up for sound doctrine all my life? Right up until the last few years when I began deviating further and further from my ideals? Was I a faithful spouse through thick and thin during the toughest years when we had no money and small children, but did I give in to temptation when the trials passed and life became more comfortable? Did I go to church all those years, put on a good show, participate in every way, and appear to be the best Christian I could be, and yet go off the deep end with no rhyme or reason spiritually? Was I given all the spiritual opportunities in the world, like having a great preacher or a great role model, a great church around me, great spouse, and yet misused them? There are also hidden life stories. There are parts of our story that we don't like others to read about. Chapters, maybe, that we tuck away in the back or hope that nobody discovers. The same writer that we quoted earlier said, "Identify any current aspect of your life which is, quote-unquote, hidden or secret, and which you would regret others finding out about after your death. What must you do about it immediately in order to be living honorably, openly, and sincerely? Commit now to doing what you know you must do." So we find then that another danger to our life story is living in a duplicitous way, having secrets that we try to keep. Even Jesus noted that some religious people only act spiritual while not truly being spiritual inside. They appear beautiful on the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and filth. That's Matthew chapter 23, if you want to read that chapter sometime. Jesus talks about the Pharisees there. They were hypocrites. They presented a spiritual facade, a religious exterior, but inside, they were dead. The Apostle Paul also warns us about hidden sins that eventually come to light. In 1 Timothy 5, beginning in verse 24, the Apostle writes, "The sins of some are quite evident, going before them to destruction." What he means there is that some sins are just obvious, that you can just tell when a person has a problem. "For others, though," he writes, "their sins follow after." And I think what he means there is that some things take a while to discover. Maybe all the way until a person has finally passed away. And it's only then that we find out after the fact that they really had some serious problems. Numbers 32, verse 23 says a little bit about that, though. It says, "Be sure that your sins will find you out." You can't keep things concealed forever. And even though we might be able to fool the people around us right now, we can kind of trick people into thinking that we're that Pharisaical, nice-looking religious type. Eventually, the secret comes out. The cat is let out of the bag. And maybe it's only at your death that people start rifling through your stuff, looking through your files, that they discover, you know, he just wasn't the man that he appeared to be in life. When all has been said and done, are you living the kind of life that you would even want people talking about? If every fact of your life came to light, and your bad habits, your secret indulgences, your hidden ugliness, if that was all exposed, would you feel comfortable with a tell-all biography about yourself? Are there skeletons in your closet that you're hoping nobody ever finds out about? In the media, we're often exposed to a celebrity's unauthorized life story. You see that typically on the cover of a book. Some biography says this is the unauthorized biography. This is the dirty little secrets about a person's life, in which those close companions of that celebrity or famous person relate hidden faults or shortcomings about their famous friend. In a spiritual sense, I think we're all in the process of having our unauthorized biographies written about us. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the flesh, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There really is nothing that we're going to be able to keep secret. And even though the language is one that is couched in imagery, let's remember something that we read in Revelation chapter 20. Very interesting language here in Revelation 20. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another great book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were being judged from the things which are written in the books according to their deeds." There is an unauthorized life story being written about you. Everything that you're doing right now is becoming part of a collection, a volume of who you are. And Revelation 20 isn't saying that God is specifically, literally going to open up a gigantic book and tell you everything that you've done. I think the sense that we're supposed to get from the imagery in Revelation 20 is that God remembers. Everything that we're doing, God remembers. And it is contributing to an overall life story, an overall impression of who we really are. Remember in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, "For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil." Do we really want our life story to include a chapter at the end which describes our downfall, our great failure? Do we want to have the same kind of notoriety as many celebrities who die young and suddenly? And upon reflection, people look back at their lives and say, "Wow, I never knew that he had a drug problem. You could never tell." People say things like, "I could never tell that she had so much anger in her life. Who would have thought that he could have such an addiction that he was keeping secret? Or her temper did always seem to get the best of her." As your life story is being written, do you want to have an epilogue or an appendix at the end of that life story that says he or she did such a good job and they were so faithful right up until the end when their ugliness caught up with them? Your life story will either be remembered with fondness by all, or it will be seen as a dark page in family or church history. We should all, of course, make it our goal to be the former. Proverbs 10, verse 7 talks about how the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. God remembers those who are righteous, and so do our loved ones who are left to carry on our memories. Speaking contextually of the coming of the Christ, Psalm 22, verse 30 makes an interesting statement. Posterity will serve him, and it will be told of the Lord to the coming generations. And even though this is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, I think in a similar way, posterity serves us when we leave behind a life story that is encouraging and useful as a model for the Christian faith. It will be told of us to future generations as well. Now, perhaps not by name as a celebrity, or with our names on a plaque or a statue. It's not like you're going to have the wing of a hospital named after you just because you did the right thing, held the door open for somebody, or comforted a person when they were down, when you wept when others were weeping, or laughed when others were laughing. They're not going to name a street after you. You're not going to have a bronze statue. I understand that. But future generations of Christians will look back with pride on the work that we are doing now, on the work that you are doing now for the name of God. It is His name that will be glorified because of the righteous stand that we take as His people. So not only that, but my influence will continue to affect people long after I'm gone, simply because of the resounding nature of my example. The same was said of Old Testament heroes and their New Testament successors. In Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, notice what Peter says there, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His footsteps." Titus 2, verse 7 says, "Show yourself to be an example of good deeds." Is your life story an example of good deeds? Is it an example of perseverance and hope and encouragement and strength that other Christians, that other people will want to follow? Our work and our faithfulness can be so resounding, in fact, that we can even reach people many generations after our physical deaths. Like 2 Chronicles 17 verse 3 says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, who was king of Judah, because he followed the example of his father David." And his father David died quite a long time before Jehoshaphat lived. You remember that Hebrews did not have a specific word for grandfather. So father is referring to somebody who could be a great-great-great-grandfather. And yet the example that David left behind was so resounding that even many generations after his death, his great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren were still following his example. This leads to our last point this morning, finishing strong. We should want the end of our stories to be just as encouraging as the beginning. We need to avoid the tendency of even some heroes to fall apart in their waning or their final days. History is filled with examples of presidents, kings, war heroes, etc., who met their darkest days and were defeated by demons at the end of their lives, for they started so strong and did so much right in the first half of their life. And how sad it is, to have years of promise and fruitfulness nullified by equal years spent in futility and abandonment. Care must be taken that we ensure our final days are glorious ones, and that our life stories end on a high note. Nobody is exempt from this danger either. Even Christians, even if you believe that your faith is so secure, watch out. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, "Take heed that you do not fall." Ephesians 5 verse 15 says, "Be careful how you walk." And Hebrews 4 verse 1 says, "Let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it." Just because you started out well, just because you feel a whole lot of confidence right now in your faith, be careful. Be careful. Don't let an ugly chapter at the end of your life ruin the work that you've done now. Don't let that ugliness become the only thing that people remember about you. A dismal, miserable failure. We want people to remember us in our best years. So make your best years right now. Finishing strong means remaining sound and biblical in your thinking, no matter what the world says. It means never allowing yourself to entertain thoughts of moral or spiritual compromise. It means being as steadfast against sin and temptation as in any other time in life. After all, do we not want it said of ourselves at the end, "I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, and I've kept the faith"? That's 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. So what is your life story? Maybe your life story hasn't been very encouraging up to this point. Maybe your life story has had a lot of ugliness, a lot of sin, troubles in your family or troubles with relationships. Perhaps your life story is one that's filled with addiction. Perhaps your life story is one that is filled with betrayal, where you've hurt people, broken relationships, or others have hurt you. You do realize, though, that your life story doesn't have to end like that. The most encouraging life stories that we read about are the ones of people who went through trials and temptations, who had the dark years, and yet came out the other end stronger and better than when they started. Those are the stories of hope and encouragement. Those are the stories that help us to realize that if He can do it, anybody can do it. The best thing you can do for your life story right now: don't worry about your job. Don't worry about money. It's not about youth. It's not about health. It's not about earthly glory. The best thing you can do about your life story is to focus on the one and only thing that truly matters at the end. Am I a Christian? Because if you're not a Christian, the only way that your life story will end will be with heartache. Become a Christian now. If you have some kind of need, then please let us know at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We'd love to study with you more. Or if you're ready to become a Christian, give us a call. Come on by the building, and we can baptize you into the body of Christ this very day. Please let us know. Thanks for listening, and we do hope that you have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.